Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And we got a hot one on deck for you. It's going to be a hot one in the old town tonight. Wait, I think it's a line from Batman. Remember Joker, the original Batman with Nicholson. Too much golf on the brain. Nicholson. Anyway, I showed that to my boys, and they loved it. They like the new modern Batman, right? But that one did the trick. They loved it. Anyway, I'm fired up today. I don't know why. Well, you know what? Hold on. I do know why. As it was a good week for value, and not that my mood, swings with the performance of the underlying portfolios, but it does help. I think our value portfolio was up like something like 5.5-6% on the week or something like that. Market was down 0.5%. We'll take that. Love it. Anyway, but a lot of other things going on. And one of the reasons I don't want to bring up performance all the time. So I don't want to get in trouble, but, the way it all comes together. The reason that we had such a good week is the reason why this week was so interesting. And I was telling our listeners on KTTH before we got joined by the folks on Cairo, I was telling them about how the market looks kind of serene on the surface, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on down below. And that could not be more true for this week. Of course, it can always be one week. And you can't, they tell you not to annualize a good month, let alone a week, right? So we want to be cautious, but big measures, big points, big pivot points, all kinds of stuff going on that we need to be aware of, because it really is setting the table for what we're going to be looking at here in markets going forward. The other thing too is we've got some big announcements coming up next week as far as it relates to monetary stimulus and the stimulus plans and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to get into that. I've dedicated a whole section to that. The other reason why I'm pumped today, though, is we've got an interview on deck that I think is a fascinating interview. And it's an interview that hits a little closer to home than normal. And what I mean by that is we've been working to get, we just had conflicting schedules. We've been trying to have Marcos Bueno, who is the portfolio manager for our algorithmic portfolio that we talk about. We've been trying to get him on for quite some time, and he and I just keep missing. It's like two ships passing in the night. Anyway, we were finally able to make the schedule work. And one of the reasons it's tough to make the schedule work is he was New York-based, but then his wife got a director position at a big London bank. They had to move to London. They plan on moving back here to the States after she gets her feet firmly on the ground put there, because they have U.S. branches. So he's going to move back here, but they needed to relocate to London. So we're dealing with an 8-hour time difference. That can make things a bit difficult. Anyway, big announcement here on the show, guys. Big announcement. We have a new member to the family. No, we're not having another child. But I made the mistake, and I say this tongue-in-cheek here, but I made the mistake of believing my wife that she was going to go look at puppies. Now, so there's a little, it's kind of a glad, sad. Well, for the wife and I think it's kind of a glad, glad story. For the kids, kind of glad, sad. But we had to put the cat down this last weekend. But she was 18, and we had been putting up with a lot of elderly cat issues for a long time. And so we miss her. Great, right? We love animals. But it was time for her to go. And, the kids were really bummed out. But this opened the window for the puppy that they've been, killing us for. I thought that it was going to be a little bit more of a longer ramp, a little more discovery process. I'll blame the investment background, but I was thinking that there would be some due diligence. And in the nature of that due diligence process, which this made sense, part of due diligence, right, is on-site visits, if you can do it. And as a matter of fact, we like to do that whenever we're taking value positions. I either want to have used the product or gone to the establishment myself to get the experience. But anyway, I digress. So she was going to go look at this group of puppies. She's going to go do her due diligence. And I thought that that's what all it was. Now, why did I think that? I don't know. Because within 4 hours, I got a text with a picture of this adorable little puppy. For those of you that follow me on Twitter, I posted it. And with a little caption underneath the picture saying, "She's ours." And I just laughed to myself because I went, how did I ever think that my wife, the animal lover that she is, would go see puppies and not buy one? I really don't know how that one missed me. But anyway, it's the new addition to the Know Your Risk family. A dog. It's a border collie mixed with a German short-haired pointer. And I guess that's, it's not a purebred, right? Because they mix two breeds, but I guess this is kind of a mix that they like, if you will. Or maybe we call it a designer mix. I don't know. But anyway, super cute. So the kids are pumped. See, these are the important things, guys, that we cover on this show. You log in to learn something about finance, and you hear me telling puppy stories. So anyway, but let's get right into it because we don't have a lot of time. And we've already done a long lead in here, but want to get right into the market update. The first thing, guys, I want to reiterate this. When you get into markets like this, where you have had this very long sustained rally, right? Longest bull market in U.S. history. And let's not get caught up in semantics. I know there are people out there, when the market drops more than 20%, it's no longer a bear market, it's a bull market. So this is a new bull market. Nonsense. This is an extension of the previous bull market with a hiccup that we had. Not a hiccup. You guys know my thoughts. But what I believe is a precursor of things to come, and it might not be for a while, right? But we had these issues, and then the Fed and the government go full tilt monetary madness, printing every bloody thing they can get their hands on. And we jack things back up, but a lot of the same trends and drivers that have driven this market for the vast majority of the last 12 years have been what has driven this bounce back, and it has just actually done it in more of a concentrated fashion. So this has really been a tech-driven market for the last decade, and this bounce back was a tech-driven market on steroids. All of the things that worked prior to the issues with coronavirus worked exponentially better, and we've seen this blow-off top in tech, and it may not be over, right? But one of the things that we were talking about is that we believe at the very least that the coronavirus issue equates to a regime change. And I think that's virtually impossible to deny. And the reason I say it's impossible to deny is we may not have seen it show up in earnest as far as stock prices and asset prices are concerned, but the role that government is playing in the economy has decidedly changed, more so than it ever has in history. The role that central banks have played has changed more so than ever has in history. So the drivers have changed. The economic backdrop has changed. And the one thing that we feel really confident about is that markets are different now than they were prior to coronavirus, and they're going to be different. Exactly what that difference is, we don't really know yet. I do not think this sustained tech thing can go. The valuations have gotten too ridiculous. Doesn't mean they can't go substantially higher. But I actually think that the path to least resistance going forward is a lot more of these cyclical type stocks, natural resource type stocks, values type stocks. The easiest path forward for the market is those stocks to play catch up. That's the easiest path forward because that's how extended a lot of these tech names have become. But one of the other big drivers was noticing the difference on the monetary side and the fiscal side, right? They've gone all in to a level that is incomprehensible. And we've spent a lot of time talking about that, so I don't want to get into that again. But we've long said that gold should be a part of a portfolio, but that you need to be flexible. Well, the minute we saw the response come out on the gold side for the last, on the dollar side, when we saw the Fed go all in, bail out the backstop the corporate bond market, you know, print the $2.5 trillion to put in the SPV to backstop the corporate bond market, ramp up purchases of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries, and now junk debt, and, you know, all the stuff, right? Just, I mean, just throwing everything at it, but the kitchen sink and throwing the laundry room and the washing machine into. When that happened, we said, okay, guys, this is when we think we really need to have gold in the portfolio, because at this point, they are literally trying to debase the currency in an effort to drive asset prices higher to create economic confidence. Well, and again, we've been pounding the table on it, okay? Go look at gold, right? Everybody's all hung up on tech. And this is a lesson that I've learned that I hope you guys learn too. That when you see markets get so myopically focused on one sector or one type of investment, it doesn't mean that you can't own some of that. It also doesn't mean that that thing won't be going up. What it does mean, especially when it's been this long, and why I say that is that as managers, we're measured against each other. So the longer a trend persists, the more likely that more people are going to be piled into it because they have to. They got to keep up with the market. And if one sector of stocks is driving a market for upwards of a decade, which tech has been doing, then you'll see these tech names creeping into everything. And if you want to see an example, go pull up the best performing mutual funds from last year. And you can look at large cap value, large cap growth. You can look at all these different kinds and start opening them up and seeing what's inside of them. And what you'll see is, I think, is egregious, but it happens every time in every cycle, especially toward the end, that regardless what the stated mandate or the purpose of the fund is, you'll see that almost all these mutual funds that ended in the top 20% or 15% or whatever it is, you'll see that they've got virtually the exact same 5 to 7 top holdings, right? And that's what happens. Everybody gets grouped into one side of the boat. So what you know is that there are things in the market that have substantial value. There are opportunities in the market that have substantial value that no one's paying attention to. So right now, this year, everybody is enamored with tech. I get it. But one of the most significant bull markets is going on right now that no one's really paying attention to, and it's gold. And I don't know the numbers exactly. Let me pull it up. But I believe gold is up about 30-31% or so on the year. Everybody's focused on tech. I think the NASDAQ's up 18. Gold's blowing the NASDAQ away. People are like, well, yeah, but look at the individual stocks. Look at the ones that are up. Okay. Do you know our gold mining positions today that we put on the portfolio, I believe in March 12th? It was the day that they plummeted is when we really backed up the truck. Lucky on the timing, I'll admit it. But I think our average weighted cost in those gold mining stocks that we picked up less than 4 months ago, I think our average weighted cost on those things is about 19 and a half or something like that. Anyway, today they're just a couple pennies shy of 42. They've more than doubled. And that's significant for me because, remember, we're coming out of the longest bear market in gold, I believe, in history. I mean, it's like a nuclear winter. So when you see, now we've got gold sitting here today, we were up at 1900, finished it right at 1900 on gold. And guys, that puts us 30 bucks away from the all-time high. That is significant. Gold is breaking out. Now that doesn't guarantee anything. But what's really interesting and attractive to us is on the gold miner side. These stocks, now there are problems with gold miners. Look, problems everywhere. I'm not saying it's a perfect investment, but you've got this environment now that was suited for gold. As a matter of fact, and again, guys, remember when I'm talking about gold, no client of ours has 25% of their money in gold. It's part of a diversified portfolio. People out there, oh, gold's, go compare the performance of gold going back to the year 2000 to the S&P. It's beating it over 20 years. And over that 20 years period of time, gold had the longest bear market in history. That's significant. Now it's breaking out again. If it breaks through 1930, we're about 30 bucks away. So we'll see a moment of truth here. That's going to be very telling. But one of the most interesting things to us about this whole breakout scenario is the gold miners. Why do we like the miners? because the miners typically move at 4 to 1. So if we get a 25% pop in gold, typically you're going to be looking at a 100% pop in miners. And that's the case. We're at about a 30% or so pop in gold this year. Miners are up. GDX, the fund we're in, is up like right at 125% on the year, something like that. And again, it's one of those opportunities. It's not tech. That's what everybody's focused on. Give me tech. But if you'd been a gold investor this year, you are smoking the market. You are smoking tech. You are smoking the NASDAQ. And this is why we need to have a diversified portfolio. And this is why we believe gold is a valuable part of that portfolio, especially when governments are doing what they're doing. So guys, you know, and if you want to know more about that, or if you don't have that in your portfolio, you need to. And there's also benefits, like I was telling you about our value portfolio. Like I said, I think this week it's up 5. I got to run the numbers. I haven't. I know that we finished positive today. And the Dow was down 182. We were slightly positive. One of the reasons for that is, A, we've got a very diversified value portfolio, but we're also starting to see a pivot toward value. And I was alluding to this earlier. And it could be, now we've seen this a couple times, but this is even a stronger pivot. Starting to see these things warm up, starting to see these natural resource companies warm up in a way that we haven't seen in quite a while. And I really think this is a prelude of what's to come. Doesn't mean we want to full tilt shovel over into it. But what it does mean is if you're an investor out there that's been riding this tech wave, it's a wonderful time to take some profits, lower some risk on that exposure, and diversify across other asset classes. Because guys, you say it now and it gets lost, you know, just because it's one of the most frustrating things about this job is you get into manias or bull markets like this and everybody acts like this is the one that's going to go to the roof. And it happens every time. And then a market crashes and they go, oh, I'll never make that mistake again. And then they do, right? Same thing over and over. Wash, rinse, wash, repeat. Or wash, rinse, repeat. Anyway, and I think this is especially true right now because passive investing has become so big. And I get it. I understand why we have ETFs as part of our portfolio. I'm not saying it's bad. But why that's especially true is when you have one sector of stocks that has dominated performance for that long, they become such a heavyweight that those of you that are sitting on your S&P 500 index funds, you're 25% in 4 stocks. So you're loaded up on tech in a disproportionate way and you don't even realize it. And I've said before, I think one of the best ways forward if you're just a diehard ETF person, which look, it should be a part of the portfolio, but you need more diversification than that. I think that everybody should have a passive part of the portfolio. I think that everybody should have a value part of the portfolio. And I think everybody should have an algorithmic part of the portfolio. And more importantly, I think our returns and our results this year highlight why or the efficacy of that approach. Meaning that virtually all of our clients are at even or slightly positive on the year. Now, there are some discrepancies. There are some clients that are positive on the year, that are slightly negative on the year, depending on their personal, you know, their personal positioning based on their life and their needs. But if we took our average portfolio, we're right at even, if not slightly positive on the year. After day, I think we're slightly positive on the year. But and remember, that's the same portfolio that was down less than 8% there at the bottom, right? Though that's the advantage of utilizing these different approaches. You still get the upside. We just do it at a lower volatility clip, which is going to become increasingly important as we go forward. So the other one that we want to keep an eye on, there's something coming up next week. I know we're talking about the market update about what happened this week. The biggest story about this week was tech getting hit disproportionately hard, value, and then running, getting some bids, and then natural resources like oil and especially gold and silver did phenomenal. We have a silver position in the portfolio that was up 7% alone in one day on Wednesday. So, and all of those things have been beaten down for so long. And the reason why we're excited, like I said earlier, is you're breaking through key levels that have acted as a ceiling on these things for the last 8-9 years. And that is very significant. That means that new money for new reasons is flowing into these things, and that's not something that you should ignore. So we want to keep an eye on that. But the other thing that we want to keep an eye on is coming up next week. Now, listen, I've said before, you can listen to all the talk of economics and V-shaped recoveries. We're working on a piece. It got pushed out. We're going to bring it to you next week. We're working with a buddy of mine that is involved in a large utility company around here. I don't want to sell him out and tell him his name because he's providing me some really valuable information. But one of the great ways to track an economy, guys, is to look at the consumption of utilities. So water, power, you know, nat gas, all that kind of stuff. He is way up in senior management. He handles a lot of technology and modeling and things like that. And what he has showed me is that power consumption continues to decline. These utility companies are sitting on record amounts of delinquent accounts, record amounts of people not paying their bills. And the consumption of power continues to decline. It hasn't even bottomed yet. So all this talk of a V-shaped recovery is nonsense. What's driving the market? Government stimulus and Federal Reserve printing money. You guys, even if you think a V-shaped recovery is coming, even if you think that this whole thing is overblown and this economy is just great, okay, admit to yourself what is the driver right now, because it's not the economy, okay? The driver is the printed money. And a big announcement is coming out next week about the extension or the issuing of a new stimulus bill. And one of the bones of contention right now is the extra unemployment benefit that the government was slapping on top of traditional unemployed benefit or unemployment insurance, which was almost as big as the unemployment benefit itself, right? An extra $600 a week. Well, the Democrats want to keep it. Republicans are saying that they want to carve it back to $400 a month. Okay, now, idealistically, I don't think they should be doing any of this. I don't like to see people suffer financially, but you also can't give people raises to sit at home, right? That would make for an extraordinarily unproductive economy, which is why I'm against the whole UBI universal basic income. Yes, it will offset some of the financial side of things, but it creates a lot of bad incentives and it kills ingenuity. Now, if they peel that back to $400 a month, you're going to see stocks get shellacked. Well, mark my words. Okay, and you'll see it show up in the consumer spending data inside of 30 days. The only game in town right now is the printing press. Now, I'm not saying I'm in favor of it, because I'm not. But I'm just saying this is the corner that they've all painted themselves into. They want to be the only game in town, and they want to just pump money into a system. It ain't very easy to pull that card back, right? It's sort of like Social Security. Once you issue a benefit, it's really hard to pull it back. And it's not just the individual, guys. It's the economy becomes reliant on it. There's going to be more volatility, and we could start seeing it next week, which brings me right to my point about what I'm always hitting on. This is why you need a risk-managed approach. This is why our approach that relies on multiple different levels to manage your actual stock portfolio, along with our bond replacement that's insured against loss and makes it on average 2 to 2.5 times as much as a bond fund, with being insured against loss and paying no fee, this is why our portfolios have done so much better than the traditional ones this year. And in most of them, we beat them last year too. We can drastically reduce your downside risk. We can lower your fees while increasing your upside potential. And if you're interested in that, which you should be, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. You can go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Get our Common Sense Investing booklet. Find out about our algorithmic momentum portfolio that was up massively last year. Can't talk about it on the road, but beat the market last year. Was down 7% this year when the market was down 36, and is now currently positive on the year. Find out about how we're doing that. How are we getting our clients the upside while taking away the downside devastation and the panic and the fear that comes from that? Just inform yourself. It's worth the 3 minutes. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to get into some more on the stimulus and the impacts it could have on the economy. Don't miss it. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. Coming up August 13th, 3 p.m., right after the big show, I'll be joining Brian Ott with 525 Advisors for his live webinar. You'll learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by Brian and 525 Advisors. They protect your savings. They protect your family. The plan my wife and I got pays us back if we never use it. Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It allows you to stay in control of your care options, and maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. So reserve your spot today. Join Brian and me, August 13th, 3 p.m. I'll kick things off, share my long-term care story. Make sure to reserve your spot today at 525longtermcare.com. Brian keeps the webinar class size small to allow time for Q&A. It's a great learning environment. There are a few spots left, so sign up now. It's all free. I'll be a part of it as well. Go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. Anyway, want to get right into this. Oh, before I do, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. While you guys, well, no, it should be over by now. It's kind of weird. Recording the show on a Friday, doing a webinar tomorrow. If you're, again, we've got a lot of downloads to the podcast. A lot of people listen to us via podcast. We have a lot of listeners on the radio too, but increasingly more, it seems like every single week, are downloading the podcast and listening to the show that way. And the podcast comes out Friday afternoon. So if you're listening to this, there is still time to log on for our webinar tomorrow morning at 10. You can just go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can sign up right there. You'll get the link. And it takes about 30 minutes for us to get through the webinar. We walk you through our planning process, our investment process, each of the different portfolios. And we do a quick Q&A and you check out. You can sit there on your couch and talk some finance, talk some stocks. I know that's what you want to do on the weekend, so just give into it. Treat yourself. Anyway, also, too, for those of you that don't know, this reminds me. One of the things that I think is valuable about doing the show and the podcast is that there's a record. Meaning, you can go back and listen to what we were talking about in February. You can go back and listen to what we were talking about at the beginning of last year. You can find out whether we know exactly what we're talking about. We're not right 100% of the time, but I feel pretty good standing behind our record. And I think it's a way for you to... The other thing, too, is we've had some incredible interviews. Thanks a lot to you guys, right? The bigger the show has gotten, the more downloads we have, the more people that want to come on. Matter of fact, now we're actually getting lobbied for it. People sending emails trying to get on the show. Again, these are all the things that you don't think are going to happen when you start doing a show like this. But, hey, it's all good, and it's thanks to you guys that listen. So much appreciated. But if you don't listen to the podcast, maybe you're listening to the radio show, the easiest way to do it, guys, is listen to the podcast. You can get the shows anytime. All of the content we've ever done is there. You can go to mynorthwest.com, click on the podcast page, and the show comes up. You can go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can get it through our site. You can just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast, and you'll get 300. I don't know what the number is. It's a lot. We're on iTunes. We're all over the place. You can get all of our content right there. So for those of you that wait anxiously by the radio for this to come on, right? Like it's it reminds me of the old days sitting around the radio. No, old day. I wasn't there, right? But Lone Ranger, right? Yeah, what was the one? Remember the one in Christmas Story? Remember the movie Christmas Story? You're going to shoot your eye out. Remember there was the, it was little aunt, Orphan Annie. That's what it was. Orphan Annie. And he got the Dakota ring. And then the Dakota ring just told him to keep drinking his Ovaltine. Anyway, I don't really think that anybody's sitting there waiting by the radio. But my whole point is if you miss the show, hop on the podcast. Anyway, wanted to talk a little bit more extensively about the stimulus deal and the legislation that's coming up. And I had a talk with Chase Taylor this week that I thought was really interesting. And I couldn't, Chase is a brilliant mind. He's had a whole host of brilliant calls. He's one of the few people who I pay for research. So I, you know, again, this business is a performance game. So the fact that I pay him for research, I think it tells you that he has made us money. And more importantly, he's helped us not lose money at several different times. And he's a go-to guy for us. Anyway, he brought up a really important point. He and I were having a conversation this week. And the point that Chase made is that this market, everybody is used to don't fight the Fed. That has become a mantra that everybody lives by. That has been beaten into our heads over the last 12 years. And what he said now is that the Federal Reserve is not what's keeping this going. And I agree with him 100% that it's the fiscal side. It's the big government money that they're pumping out. It's the accelerated unemployment benefits, like I mentioned in the last segment. It's the extra $2,400 a month. That is the only thing holding up and propping up consumer spending. Okay, that's it. But Chase made a really good point. He goes, we need to quit being Fed watchers. We need to start being Congress watchers. And I think he's dead on the money. And I think it's going to be very true this upcoming week. And I'm just telling you straight up, if they do the $400 a month, now if they find some middle ground, let's say it becomes like $1,500 a month instead of the $2,400 a month that they're currently putting out on top of the unemployment benefit. I'm not really sure. I would think the market would take a little bit of a hit, but it wouldn't be, who knows? But if they go through with $400 a month, as opposed to the $2,400 a month, you're going to see the market get hammered. Mark my words. And in that environment, I would not be surprised to see tech stocks take off again. Because everybody's convinced that's the safety play. And my whole point to you guys is the same that I've been making all along. Do not lie to yourself and tell you this is over. It's not. It's far from over. We haven't even seen, look at the unemployment. Remember last week I was telling you that we had a bad unemployment print. It was 1.35 million new unemployment claims right in the middle of the summer of recovery. And people go, well, 1.35 million, that's not as bad. We were at 6 million. Yeah, but let's put it in context. Prior to coronavirus, the worst week of unemployment claims in the history of our country was 880,000. We're coming up on August 1st in the quote-unquote summer recovery, and we're still printing 1.35. Then the numbers came out this week. We're up over 1.4. If you think this is over just because the markets have bounced back for the most part, you're lying to yourself. As a matter of fact, there is substantially more risk in this market today than there was prior to coronavirus. And just don't get lulled to sleep. Now, another thing I want to talk about, and I've received this question from a couple different clients, and I was going to talk about it in the market update, but it's kind of a conversation all to itself. A couple clients called me out of the blue and said, hey, should we be buying financials? I don't see a lot in the portfolio. And I said, no. Well, why do you ask? Now, the reason I'm not a big fan of financials right now is interest rates are stuck to the floor. Okay, now, if this crazy market decides it wants to go into financials all of a sudden, you could see the stocks pop. But banks really don't have much of a fundamental driver going forward because the way banks make money, for the most part, is to lend it out. And they borrow short term, they lend long. Well, the yield curve is as flat as a pancake. And yields are dropped to the floor, so there's just not a lot of margin there for banks. I just think there's a lot of other attractive things to be in right now. But the reason they called is there was a, and it's still going around today, makes big news. Buffett's deploying capital. Buffett's in there buying up Bank of America shares. Oh, here comes the comeback. Oh, the value investor's stepping in. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed at that article, guys, because here, this is why you cannot trade on anecdotal data, okay, like that. Well, Buffett's buying the banks. You got to get in there and buy them too. Okay, let's look at the details. First of all, Buffett already owns Bank of America, okay? So he was adding to his position. Did he purchase shares? Yes, he did. How much did he purchase? He purchased $813 million. Sounds like a lot, right? High conviction. Just keep in mind, Buffett manages over $400 billion. That's $420 billion, I believe, is the market cap of Berkshire Hathaway. Okay, so that investment makes up something like what? 0.2% of his overall portfolio? So I jokingly put out a tweet where I went, oh, that means Bank of America's a buy, or did that just mean that he reinvested his dividends? Right? This is not a resounding, you know, affirmation of Bank of America's stock. And this is why we have to be so careful. And I read the article. It wasn't meant to be misleading, but it's, oh, Buffett bought $800 million. Are we missing out? Are banks about ready to pop? Whoa. Hold on. Let's put it in context. We talk about that on the show all the time, that we live in a context vacuum. Context has just been sucked out of our existence these days. There is no context. Everybody's free floating. Everybody's got an opinion that matters. Everybody gets a trophy. There is no context. Nobody puts anything into context. Oh, America's a racist country. Well, compared to what? Do we have racists in America? Yeah, we do. Every country does. Right? Again, what is the context? And that is something, especially in crazy markets, you need to be aware of. And you've got to know that you got to do the work, and you've got to be a, you know, sometimes it feels like you're a pessimist, but you're not. You're a realist. You're not going to make knee-jerk decisions. We got to be disciplined. We got to stay diversified even when it hurts. I remember one time somebody looks at me and go, diversification? You mean diversification? You know what? You know the one time no one's griping about diversification is when the bottom's falling out of a market and they're not taking a hit. Right? That's the number one time. And I will just tell you guys this. And I've been pounding the table. And I really don't, you know, we've gotten to the point, by God's grace, we've gotten to the point where our firm has grown enough to where we don't need, you know, don't get me wrong. If you want us to manage your money, we'll certainly do that. If it works, if it fits, there's a fit that needs to be there. But, you know, I don't need to be up here lobbying for new clients all the time, by God's grace. And I don't say that in a bragging way. It actually feels kind of weird to not need that constant inflow. But I know that we have a very valuable service to offer. Okay. And that is risk management. That is, how do we get through the next 2 or 3 years? Okay. Especially if we're on the cusp. How do we make sure that we keep up? If the government's just going to keep pumping money and run this thing to the sky, inflation becomes a problem, we got to make money. But at the same time, the bottom could drop out anytime because you've got the most indebted corporate sector, the most indebted, right? You guys know all the problems. We've been talking about it for a while. So what do you need? You need a risk management strategy that limits your downside but also increases your upside, where we're not sitting on the sidelines just letting this pass us by. And how do we do that? We do that multiple ways. One was our bond replacement strategy. And I'll say it again, and I'll keep on saying it. If you are still sitting on a bond portfolio, and that is the protective part of your portfolio, do yourself a favor for God's sake and pick up the phone and call us. You are killing yourself. You are exposing yourself to unnecessary risk. And what's even worse is you're not getting paid for it. It is killing you. In addition to that, we have our value portfolio that we hedge against economic risk. That's where we have our gold exposures and our inflation protection in the portfolio. And then the interview that you're going to hear coming up, it's a very special one, one I've been looking forward to do for a while. We're interviewing Marcos Bueno, who runs our algorithmic portfolio. He built it and he runs it. This is the portfolio that blew the market away last year. And then this year during the downturn was down 7% when the market was up, or excuse me, when the market was down 36. That portfolio is now up on the year, solidly up. The guy is brilliant, and the algorithm is doing a terrific job, and it works beautifully when paired with our value portfolio and our bond replacement strategy. Guys, there's a better way. You can't get portfolios like this at any other RIA firms. If sincerity is coming across, I hope it is, because we're not just singing our song here. We're not just preaching our book. We got a better way to do it. So pick up the phone call. No one's calling you. At least I'm not. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, and just educate yourselves. We don't stick you into a sales process. We're not going to twist your arm. We're very confident about what we do. We present to you how we do it. We tell you what it costs. We show you what the expected returns are and what the returns are in the past. And boom, it sells itself. And if you don't choose to go forward, which surprisingly some people don't, which always gets me, but that's fine, we're not going to bug you to death. Okay, we just, here it is. This is what we do. All our cards are on the table. There you go. It's that simple. So give us a call. Sign up for the podcast. You guys know the drill. Anyway, stay tuned. Show's not over. In my opinion, the best part's going to get started. We're going to interview Marcus Bueno, the portfolio manager of our algorithmic portfolio. Beautiful guy, brilliant guy, and just an incredible ad for us. And I think that portfolio delivers immeasurable value to our clients. It allows us to keep up with the Joneses, right? It allows us to play on the more dicey side of things, have some of those tech companies in the portfolio, but it does it with a constant layer of protection underneath it. So much so that that was only down 7% when the market was down 36 in March. So anyway, it's a valuable interview coming up with a lot of information that I think will serve you well. So stay tuned, listen to it. And we're going to have to cut it off early like we always do because we're limited with time. But make sure you get on the podcast site, Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You can go to mynorthwest.com. You guys know by now where to get you can get it on Bulwark Capital Management's website. You can get it anywhere. And you can hear the remainder of the interview. So I suggest you do that. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Marcos. Stick with us. Don't go anywhere. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And here we go. Another of my favorite, this is my favorite part of the show. And I've got a special guest today. And it's one that I don't understand why we haven't had on in the past. We've tried a couple times. There were some scheduling things. But a guy that I've wanted to have on the show for a long time. And it happens to be a guy that I work with. And so that's new. But anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Marcos Bueno, who is the portfolio manager for our algorithmic portfolio. Marcos, it's been a long time coming, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Zach, I am so happy that we get this done, and it is an honor and a pleasure to be on your show.
It's been a long time coming, huh?
It has been. I mean, I think the first time we talked about this was a year ago.
Yes. And I'm not, like I said, I really don't have a good reason for why we haven't done it sooner. But anyway.
It's my fault. I'm a shy guy. So.
That's right. Okay. So let's now Marcos is joining us right now from London. He's an international man of mystery, people. This is a guy. He's from Spain. By way, then came to New York. But anyway, before I start talking about your background, why don't you tell me how you got here? Why you and I are talking, your background, where you grew up, how you got in the business. Just give us the bullet points and run us down to how you got to the point where you're managing, you're managing about half of our assets for us right now and doing an incredible job, by the way. But how did that happen? How did you get here? What's your story? And how are we talking to you today?
Yeah. So as you said, I was born and I grew up in Spain until I was my early 20s. That was a long time ago, and I still haven't gotten rid of my accent, as you can tell. So I've given up on that. So basically, I grew up there. I got an engineering degree back in Spain, and I wanted to do other things. Spain was a bit small for me. So I moved to France to study, where I got 2 degrees. I got a Master in Engineering, a Master in Applied Mathematics and Economics. And after that, I started doing management consulting a little bit all over Europe. But my dream always was going to America. So I got accepted at an MBA at a Wharton School in Philadelphia. I was there. I did well. I graduated close to the top of my class, and I joined Goldman Sachs in London. So it happened to be right after 9/11, in the middle of the recession. There was no place for me in New York at the time, but there was a place for me in London. So I moved to London to work for Goldman, and I was a little bit of a whiz kid in derivatives. So I was a exotic and hybrid derivative expert, and I was devising investment products for Goldman clients. But that was, my heart was not in it, to be honest. So my heart was on the managing money, on the making investments. And back in the day, I was a believer on the value school of investment. So I joined UBS to manage some of UBS capital with a value strategy in commodities and equities. So I was investing in oil companies, in oil futures, copper companies, copper futures, gold miners, anything that had to do with commodities and the commodity producers and consumers, power, utilities, things like that. Very old school, a lot of research, very little trading. It will take 3 months to research an idea, traveling around, visiting mines and oil fields and companies, and it was quite an interesting experience. I learned a lot, and in the world of commodities, it's very global, it's very macro, and I discovered that I liked the macro world, where you have a much bigger picture of investments. You think about countries, you think about currencies, you think about flows, and it's sort of like liked it. And pursuing that world, I had an opportunity to go to JP Morgan to manage some of the JP Morgan's capital in their prop desk. So I was a prop trader for JP Morgan for a few years, did well. I learned to trade currencies, trade other things, fixed income, and I became a macro trader. And that ultimately led to a partner position at a global macro fund called Graham Capital in London. So we opened the office in London. By that time, I'd been in London for 7 years, even though I wanted to be only just 2. So, but it happens that you find a job, then you change job, then you meet a girl, then you marry the girl, then you have kids and stuff, and one thing leads to another. And
well, that anyway, and that's the curveball, right? You said I met a girl. Yes. I mean, that's how these things happen. That's how you end up in London 7 years as opposed to two, right?
Yeah, I ended up actually. It ended up being 10.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I met a girl.
10. Yeah. Yeah, but at some point, I was like, I said, well, I want to change my life. I want to go back to America, which is what I always wanted to be. I think America is the best country in the world. All things considered, it's just the best and still the best. So I wanted to be there. I think I wanted my children to grow up in America. So my wife wanted the same thing. We decided to just quit our jobs, sell our house, sell everything, pack up, and go to America. I'm lucky that I'm married to an exceptional woman who, thanks to her, we got a green card on the first day going to America. We got sort of like the VIP treatment of immigrants because she's a very accomplished woman.
And by the way, she's probably the best financial mind out of the three of us.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
No, all right, guys. Unfortunately, we've got to cut the interview a little short due to time. Actually, not a little, a lot. There's about another hour of content on this. We're on this interview. We went off for quite a while. But I suggest that you download the podcast, hear the rest of what Marcos has to say. Marcos has managed money for three of the biggest banks in the world, some of the wealthiest people in the world. He has succeeded at every level, and he has really changed how we do things, and he's delivered remarkable results for our clients. So I really want you to hear what he has to say. And as a reminder, if what we're talking about, right, if that interests you, call us. He's partnered with us. That's where you get the portfolio. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. But anyway, enjoy the rest of the interview, and we will be back next week. We got some more great interviews coming your way. So we'll see you then. Thank you for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTPH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.